Before I start this sermon, I have got to share something with you. The Lord has put it on my heart to share it, and I think it's very important. Thursday morning in our men's Bible study, Skip shared a story that not only touched but changed my heart. The Gideons were denied access to Syria and Iraq and those areas where they wanted to go and witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they were, a considerable number of them were in Germany, and the floodgates opened, and hundreds of thousands of Muslims immigrated through these countries into Germany. The Gideons had already prepared Bibles that had German on one page and Farsi on the next. They felt that this was an act of God, that God had brought these people to give them that opportunity. And I thought about how vocal I have been about worrying about Muslims coming into the United States. And my heart changed. The Spirit literally broke my heart that I have been thwarting or trying to thwart God's plan to bring these people into an environment where the gospel of Jesus Christ could be shared with them. There are a lot of people that are immigrating that are either Christian or leaning to be Christians, and they're trying to get away just as our forefathers did with the Mayflower and coming to Plymouth Rock. And I thought, forgive me, Lord, for being so harsh in my spirit. And as we think about Thanksgiving, I thought, wow, I should be giving thanks that these people are coming. Are there going to be some bad ones? Absolutely. We've never been able to stop that. I mean, when the Italians migrated here, the mafia came with them. Okay, sure, there's going to be some bad ones. I'm sorry, Jim. But I just wanted to share that with you because I think that is so powerful, and I think we need to be very aware. God's ways are so much higher than ours. Okay. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 35 to 51. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Did it shift? So the Jews grumbled about him. All right. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Joy and I try to faithfully pray the Our Father in bed every night when we get into bed. And we pray it out loud together. And when I get to that line that says, "Give us this day our daily bread," two things flood my mind. That spiritual bread that I can't live without, that I thank God every day that I have, and our homemade bread maker. I don't know why, but it does that. Okay. Today I want to talk about Thanksgiving. You know, many holidays have two different celebrations or connotations, one worldly and the other Christian. I mean, the world celebrates Easter with Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and new clothes and spring break, heralding the coming of spring. But Easter is a holy day for Christians, a time when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his victory over sin and death, and our hope for eternal life. It's a very special day for us. Now, Christmas is another such holiday. For the world, it's Xmas and Santa Claus coming down the chimney and toys. But for Christians, Christmas celebrates the miracle of the virgin birth. And we realize that God loves us so much that he came into our world to live and die among us and teach us how to live both now and for all eternity. Likewise, for many, Thanksgiving is just become Turkey Day, a day to throw our diets into the wastebasket, engage in a ritual of overeating, and watch football until we're fast asleep. But for Christians, Thanksgiving is a day to acknowledge that everything we have is a gift from God and a chance to lift our hearts in thanksgiving to him. But you know, we're not very good at saying thank you, are we? We're like a little boy I heard about on his return from a school party. His mother asked him, "Bobby, did you thank the lady for the party?" He answered, "Well, I was going to, but the little girl ahead of me said thank you, and the lady told her not to mention it, so I didn't." It almost seems like we have to be trained to express gratitude. Joy and I have 13 grandchildren. We're going to be blessed tomorrow night. One of them's coming here from California. Was she 7 months old? Two of these are twins, Courtney and Conrad. They live in the Denver area with our son Travis and daughter-in-law Laura. And one thing I noticed about grandkids is that no one has to teach them to say no. No one had to teach them to grab something and say, "Mine." And no one had to teach them to cry when they were unhappy or they wanted their way. They did all that with no coaching at all. But they had to be taught to say thank you and please and to be unselfish with their toys. You see, by nature, we're not normally thoughtful and thankful, especially for things we receive. In fact, many times we overlook the many blessings that routinely come our way. I want to share a story with you that was sent to me on email by our friend and the pastor's wife, Sharon Bland. It's titled "The Seven Wonders of the World." A group of students were asked to list what they thought were the present seven wonders of the world. Though there were disagreements, the following received the most votes: Egypt's Great Pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, Panama Canal, Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and China's Great Wall. While gathering the votes, the teacher noted that one student had not finished her paper yet. So she asked the little girl if she was having trouble with the list. The little girl replied, "Yes, a little. I couldn't quite make up my mind because there were so many." The teacher said, "Well, tell us what you have and maybe we can help." The girl hesitated and then read, "I think the seven wonders of the world are to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to feel, to laugh, and to love." The room was so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. The things we overlook, the simple and ordinary things that we take for granted, are so truly wondrous. I think this is a general reminder that the most precious things in life can't be built by hand or bought. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? And I'm convinced we do need a national day of thanksgiving, a day of thanksgiving to God who provides all these things for us, both now and for all eternity. Now, with that in mind, I want to share these words found in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And in John 6:49-51, he said, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And in Luke 12:23-24, he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more value are you than the birds?" Life depends on bread. The first thing we notice about that last passage is that we are valuable in God's sight. He has showered his blessings even while many of us have turned our backs on him. We live in one of the most prosperous countries in the world, and many say it is the most prosperous. We're some of the richest people who have ever graced the face of this planet. And one result of God's blessing is that we have an unusual problem in our country. We produce more food than we need. We have so much food that we don't know what to do with all of it. As a result, we not only can eat what we need, but we usually eat more than we need. I'm living testament. By and large, we are a country of people who overeat. Thanksgiving Day comes once a year, and rather than focus on expressing thankfulness to God for his provisions, it's become a day when we often eat until we're so full we can't eat anymore. I mean, it's nice to have everything we want to eat, but there's a problem. We want to be able to eat everything we like and at the same time remain slim and trim. Once we're torn between those two desires, there's two ways we can handle it. One way, of course, is to watch how much we eat and see to it that we get exercise that our body needs. But not everybody handles that way. We have developed in our country things that are really unique. We have developed eating disorders. We have clinics and doctors and specialists to deal with those eating disorders. Can you imagine going to Ethiopia and asking the starving people on the street Do you have an eating disorder? No. We have eating disorders here because we have so much. And yet to the people who have these disorders, they're very real problems. For example, how about anorexia? People who have anorexia develop an aversion to food because in their own minds they see themselves as overweight, and then they work on starving themselves to skin and bones. And then there's bulimia. The person with bulimia says, I want to be thin, but I'm just not able to conquer my appetite. I just can't stop eating. I'm compelled to eat. So the people stuff themselves and then they regurgitate to keep the food out and keep from gaining weight. See, there's starving people in this world, and yet because we have so much, we have eating disorders. I just think that's so strange. God provides the bread. The second thing we notice in this passage of Scripture is that God provides the bread. Without God, there would be no bread. And the true bread, the bread that takes away death and provides life, only comes from God. There's a noted author and journalist and a playwright. His name is Fulton Osler. He wrote the greatest story ever told, a story about Jesus Christ. And he tells about a maid who worked in his house. She'd been there when his mother was born, and she also had attended his birth. She had been a slave in southern Maryland as a little girl. He wrote, that woman taught me more about Thanksgiving than anyone I ever met. He said, I can remember as a boy seeing her sit at our table in the kitchen. She would sit there with her crusty old hands folded across her starched apron, close her brown twinkly eyes, and say a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for our victuals. Osler said, I would ask her, Anna, what's a victual? She would say, well, victuals, those things that we eat and the things we drink. He would say, but you get victuals even if you don't thank God, right? Anna said, that's right, but things always taste better when you're thankful. One of my favorite authors, Christian authors, Max Lucado, tells about living in as an American in Brazil. And one day as he was walking along the street on his way to the university to teach a class, he felt a tug on the side of his pants. Turning around, he saw a little boy about 5 or 6 years old with dark beady eyes and a dirty little face. And the boy looked up at the big American and said, Piau, senor, bread, sir? He was a little beggar boy, and Lucado said, there are always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil. And he says, usually I turn away from because there are so many and you can't feed them all. But there was something so compelling about this little boy that I couldn't turn away. So taking his hand, I said, come with me. And I took him into the coffee shop. And he told the owner there, or Max Lucado told the owner there, I'll have a cup of coffee and give the boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants. Since the coffee counter was the end of the store, he walked on and got his coffee, forgetting about the little boy, because beggar boys just usually grab the bread and run back out into the street and disappear. But this one didn't. After he received his pastry, he went over to the big American and stood there until Lucado felt his staring eyes. Lucado said, I turned around and looked at him. Standing up, his eyes were about my belt buckle level. Then slowly his eyes came up until they met mine. And this little boy holding his pastry in one hand looked up and said, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Lucado says, I was so touched by the boy's thanks that I would have bought him the whole store. I sat there for another 30 minutes, late for my class, just thinking about this little beggar boy who came back and said, thank you. And you know, and I wonder if God feels the same. I wonder if his heart just kind of bubbles up inside when we, his children, all beggars, come and say, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Man does not live by bread alone. I think finally we need to remember that man can't live by bread alone. Jesus said, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that leads to eternal life." How will you be doing with your Thanksgiving list this year? Will you be able to think of many things which you're thankful for? I mean, Joy and I don't have any trouble. We have been so blessed. The day we walked in the back door of this church, Joy turned to me and said, "This feels like home." And we hadn't even come into the sanctuary yet. We sat in the back and Wally came over and greeted us and introduced us to Jim Calcaterra and Gary Hoffman and everybody that we met that day was so friendly. And when we left here that day, we said, "Thank you, Lord. You have brought us to the place you want us to be." You know, there's always something to be thankful for. I like Snoopy and Charlie Brown. And a few years back, there was a cartoon that pictured Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner on Thanksgiving Day. But it was his usual dog food in a bowl. Snoopy took one look at the dog food and said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food because I'm a dog?" He stood there and stared at the dog food for a minute and he said, "Well, I'm thankful. It could be worse. I could be a turkey." Yes, there is always something to be thankful for. Some students have been asked to make a list of the things they were thankful for. One little boy couldn't really seem to think of a thing, and then finally he wrote, "Thank you, Lord, for my glasses." Glasses, wow, okay. And then he said, "They keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me." And that's really something to be thankful for. A letter to the editor of the Chicago Tribune written by a man who had just buried his wife of 40 years. And in it he said that after all the relatives had left, he wandered around the house for a while, looking at the furnishings the two of them had bought together and remembering. He recalled 40 years of marriage, 40 years of companionship and happiness. "We went through some hard times," he wrote, "but she never complained. Even when the money was tight, she always had a hot meal ready when I got home." Then he added, "But never one time do I remember saying thank you." His letter was published in the Tribune as an appeal to husbands and wives to turn to their spouses and say, "Thank you. Thank you for making my home. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my companion." Yes, I believe there is always something for us to be thankful for. This Thanksgiving Day, we'll sit down with our family, our friends. We'll remember good times we've had this last year and good times we've shared. We'll remember some of the blessings that have come our way, and we'll try to express our thankfulness to our Savior and God. You know, Joy and I have watched a Bill and Gaither video, homecoming video, several times that was filmed in the Kennedy Center. One of the performers was Andre Crouch. In his song titled "My Tribute," Andre sings to God, "How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, and yet you prove your love for me. The voice of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you." Jeff and Miriam and Joy and I want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. And we pray that you'll take some time this Thanksgiving Day to reflect on what God has done for you, because as the words of the song said, we owe it all to Him. Praise team.
Thank you, Chuck. Why don't you stand, and we're going to close with another one of Harriet's mashups. We're going to start out with the family of God. We're going to move into To God Be the Glory. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family of God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin. Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Heavenly Father, it is our hope, our prayer, that we're coming before You as a thankful people. A thankful people who is recognizing that all we have is from You. A thankful people who recognizes that You deserve all the glory, that You are God and we are not. And so, Lord, I pray as we go into this week with all of the busy preparations for Thanksgiving and the house cleaning and the cooking and buying and all of that stuff, Lord, I pray in the midst of that, whether it's on Thursday at the meal or whether it's beforehand or hopefully all of the above, we're taking that time, Lord, to thank You for all that You have done. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.